So now, just a quick recap. Paul has been talking about the law and its relationship to us. He mentions in chapter 6 and at the beginning of chapter 7, should we sin more that grace may abound? By no means. And the thing about, and I've said this before, but just to reiterate it, that phrase, by no means, that we see in verse 7, the King James translated as God forbid, depending on your preference of translation of the Greek, if you want it extremely literal, by no means is your most accurate one. If you want the full effect and the weight of the words that Paul is using, God forbid would be the better way to go. That's another way, yes. That's why there's so many English translations. There are, unfortunately, many ways to translate Greek words. But yes, that would work as well. And so the question that Paul now raises is, what then shall we say? That the law is sin? Of course not. You recall there's many who will say, well, the law is unnecessary now. We don't need it. We don't need the commandments. Jesus came, and now it's all grace. We don't need works. We don't need any of that. And Paul went through all of chapter 6 removing that argument, saying that that's foolishness. He started out chapter 7 the same way. It's foolishness to say that the law is a bad thing and that we don't need it anymore. We do need it because it tells us what is good and what is bad. Okay. However, now Paul is taking up a different matter as we continue in verse 7. If it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Okay. So, one of the big questions that we all think about and have discussed before is, ignorance of the law acceptable? Is it okay, even in America, if I don't know that, say, I'm trying to think of a little known of a law that... Okay, here's a crazy law that's actually still in the book. I forget which state it's in. You cannot cross the street with an ice cream cone in your back pocket. Literally a law. I'm pretty sure it's North Carolina. They just never took it out of the book, and it's just silly. Now, if a police officer really wanted to enforce that law, the judge would probably laugh at him and say, really, we should have took this out of the book. But at the same time, does that mean I'm guilty because I didn't know that?
Well, I mean, there's laws.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Bingo.
Correct. But there's also the age of accountability that comes into play.
I mean, all right.
You're a certain age, you're not held accountable by the law.
So we have the age of accountability, ignorance of the law. I'm making a checklist.
That's on the point you're trying to make, though.
But first, we have to establish what law he's talking about. Because you got the Mosaic law, and you got God's royal law, the Ten Commandments. So which one are we looking at here?
Okay, so we have three. Okay, I'm making a checklist of what I need to cover.
What I'm saying goes along with what he's saying. It depends on what you're trying to point you make. Because there's a law, I want to say in Oklahoma, that says that you cannot snore with your windows open.
There's a whole book on these stupid laws,
and
really, there is.
The thing is that, what if the person wakes up and says, I don't snore? So, I mean, you know, there's ignorance of the law, and then there's blatant ignorance of the law. Where, I mean, not knowing the law, I mean, I like speeding. How many people get pulled over and get a warning ticket?
But when it's talking about these particular laws, whether it be the Mosaic law or God's Ten Commandments, most of those, the ones we're going to be referring to now, are they not going to be written on your heart?
Yes.
You are born knowing not to murder. You know, I don't particularly believe that you have to tell somebody that they don't have to, that they're not, they should not murder someone.
Unless you're a psychopath.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll, there's extenuating circumstances and everything, but the knowledge of the difference in right and wrong is not the issue here, because that's already established, right? Once you reach the age of accountability.
But you have, but also you got to look at what law are you speaking of when you're talking about God's royal law, man's law, the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law is fulfilled. So, well, it is for some. If they accept the new covenant.
Is this where you step back like Joe did there?
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
No, you see, I'm loving this. I'm getting my checklist
see,
up here.
Here's the thing. And to go along with what Kyle's saying a little bit, but if you have, if you're in a zone like driving and you don't know the speed limit, like you're not familiar with the area, it's not posted anywhere, at what point is there grace to the ignorance of the speed? If you're going 55, it's a 45, and you've never seen a sign that said anything different. Because, I mean, if you're thinking about it in that way, that also, you know, kind of goes along the lines of if it's something that you grew up with that's not one of the ones written on your heart, so to speak, it's not something that's a moral situation per se, because the argument you're going to end up finding yourself in is, well, it doesn't affect me. It's not a stumbling block to me. Because you hear it all the time in ministry. People saying, well, I mean, it doesn't bother me to do this. It doesn't bother me to do that. And it's not you that you're being a stumbling block to that it's causing a problem for, but wherein is there an ignorance clause to that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where do we draw the line? How do we define sin?
Well, if you're doing it and it's offending somebody else,
what if you don't know you're offending someone else?
Yeah, is that not the whole thing? Sin is sin because what it does to someone else, not what it does to you?
Not necessarily. No. It's not what Jesus taught. It was considered that up until Christ came. Remember when Christ said, you know, if you're just angry with your brother, you're in danger of being condemned for murder, even though you never killed him, but you got so angry you thought you was going to kill him, or you wanted to kill him, but you did. He said you were still in danger of being brought into judgment for him. So it wasn't enough just to not kill somebody. You had to be in such control of your faculties that you never let yourself get that angry.
Okay.
Say, do not sin in your anger.
Didn't say being angry was a sin. It's just how you handle yourself being angry. Question. Don't read that into the anger quality of God. So he gets mad too.
His anger is a whole other world than ours, though. Literally and figuratively. Okay, well, funny story about the speed limit thing you brought up. Complete rabbit hole, but we're going to go down it for a second. Driving back to Camp Lejeune when I was in the Marine Corps, it was still, I hadn't been in maybe a year, not even. Still getting used to the base, still getting used to my route, getting back. I could probably drive with my eyes closed now, but then I wasn't sure, so I was relying on this old Garmin that's stuck into the top of my windshield. And I'm driving along, and I finally had to stop using it because it took me a different way every time. I figured that out, but this particular time, it took me through this little town. I mean, it wasn't even 30 minutes outside the base. It took me through a little town called Kenansville, North Carolina. And I will never forget this town because of what happened that night. It's about 8 o'clock. Sun's gone. I'm driving along. The speed limit was 55. And me being me, I'm doing 62 because I always do that. Sorry.
Hey, I don't play your team.
So I'm driving along, And I realize there's buildings to the left and right of me. I hadn't seen a speed limit sign. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I know the North Carolina speed limit inside any city limit, unless otherwise posted, is 35. So I start slowing down, and I get down to about 51, thinking, okay, I haven't seen a speed limit sign, so maybe it's like Boone used to be, and it was 45. I get to this red light, and I see a car behind me. I think nothing of it. Didn't see any brush guard, didn't see any light bar, didn't see anything. Just saw a car behind me. I'm going along. I get to this red light, stop like I was supposed to. Light turns green, bam, blue light's behind me. I'm like, what have I done? I didn't see a speed limit sign. I have no clue what's going on. I pull over. Officer comes up to me. You know why I pulled you over? And for once in my life, I honestly looked at him and said, I have no idea. Sir, I'm sorry. I don't have a clue. He said, I just paced you doing 51 and a 35 through town. I'm like, you did what? I'm sorry. I didn't realize that, sir. I'm trying to get back to base, and here's my military ID to show you that I'm not just trying to get out of this. I'm sorry. Hadn't had a ticket at all up until that point. Actually, that was the first time I'd been pulled over, now that I think about it. And I'm sitting there freaking out because I've never had a ticket. I know my insurance is about to double. I realize I'm going to have to tell mom and dad, and then I'm just going to have to hear them just say, Blake, how could you? The officer comes back to me and says, look, I respect what you do. I understand that you're trying to get back, and you've obviously never been through Kenansville, North Carolina before. And I'm like, nope, never have. Never have. And he said, so I'm going to let you go this time. But if I see your face here again speeding, I'm going to hit you with reckless driving. Guess where I've never been since then? Kenansville, North Carolina.
I was in college a million, and it was apparently the speed limit on what's now 26, it was 181 at the time, but was not posted anywhere. And so you just had to know it was 55.
Yep.
And I was probably going 80.
Oh, gosh.
And carpool people, we were trying to get to the movies on time. Mm-hmm. And right there where Rome Street is, where you pull off to go to reel, mm-hmm. pull off, and he flips the lights on, chases me through traffic, because I was moving at a pretty good rate. I thought it was odd that everybody else was sitting still, but I didn't. He walks up, stops behind the vehicle, and just looks at my tag for a couple minutes. Shines it all over the... And walks up to the window and says, do you know how fast you were going? I said, no, not really. I was like, I didn't really look down. He goes, well, when I got behind you, you were going at least 75. And he said, let me see your license. Didn't ask for registration. Got back to the car, walked back up. He said, I can tell. I know you're not. No, first thing he asked me, he goes, you're not from around here, are you? I said, no, sir, I'm from North Carolina. I'm a student at Milligan. I didn't tell him I went to Johnson City all the time as a 16, 17, 18-year-old before I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. And he looks at it. Obviously, he wasn't very familiar with the territory. He's like, speed limit here on 181, 55, let's keep it that way. Y'all have a nice night. When he handed me a license back, when he got back in his car, and said, oh. And they're all looking at me going, shouldn't one of us be driving? I'm like, no, we're real good. Took off. Never had problems since, but...
Actually, they increased it now. It's 60 mile an hour on 26.
No, but this was back before it was even 26.
Right, right.
This was back when apparently it was 55. It didn't turn to 75 until you got past gray. I found that out.
That's actually, it's dropped. That's been dropped.
To 70?
No, it's 65 now.
I don't know.
Or it was. I might be wrong. You're right.
It's probably not marked anyway.
Okay, so there's my funny story about ignorance. Okay, age of accountability. Let me backtrack. The law that Paul is discussing, I am 99.9% sure, and I'm willing to put my name on this, that he's talking about God's Ten Commandments, because he strictly uses one out of it.
I agree.
He uses covet, and that comes straight from the Ten Commandments.
I agree.
Okay. Age of accountability. everyone here, fact check me on this. All right, that's your homework now, tonight. Use your phone, use Google, do whatever you have to do. Fact check me on what I'm about to say. Because in all of my study on the age of accountability, I have found exactly one place in the Bible that covers it. And I've used it before. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. King David saying that from the moment he stepped out, the moment he was conceived, he was accountable for his actions. That is what I have found, and I'm glad to see Joe's already turning somewhere.
Can I ask a question?
I can't promise an answer.
You don't have an answer.
I can't promise an answer.
Is he talking about his sin or his mother's?
Is he talking about being accountable or just being sinful for murder?
Is he talking about he's accountable for murder or for sin in him? Or is it he was conceived in sin, therefore a sinner?
I'm going to say my quick answer is yes.
Which is exactly how I would answer that question. Because it's not... I mean, you're answering to...
You've got a two-year-old that gets a hold of a loaded gun. He accidentally shoots somebody in the house. Is that two-year-old accountable for murder?
Well, no, because that's an accident.
It would be them because they've left it around where that little two-year-old could get a hold of it.
That would still be considered an accident. And I don't know.
That's accountability. You don't have a toy gun. You haven't been told not to do that.
Okay. Here's my other defense saying that you're accountable, and I have scripture, but I don't have it on hand, so I do apologize. And it's the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned, it plunged the entire world into sin. Hence the fact we all die. Hence the fact that 1-day-year-olds die. If there was no sin in that one-day-year-old, then it wouldn't die. The wages of sin is death. If you don't sin, you don't die. Plain and simple. Now, what happens to that 1-day-year-old after that? Not up to me. I am inclined to say that it goes on to heaven because it's 1 day old. But I'm not a judge. So please don't read too far into that.
God is that judge.
Exactly. So whether you're 1 day old or 100 years old, you're eventually going to die somewhere along the line.
All right, but to answer the question Jesus was asked.
The answer of what?
Who sinned, this man or his parents?
Yes.
I mean, you know, and he made the point to say that it wasn't the parents' sin that caused the man to be blind.
He was blind because so that God's glory could be shown through what was about to happen.
Who's to say a 1-day-old wouldn't die to show God's glory?
Agreed.
Rather than saying that he's guilty of sin because he died.
I'm going to say yes to both of those again.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, and that's the hard part to understand. I mean, we don't understand the ways of God. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. But to say that, you know, like she said, are we accusing the 2-year-old of murder and holding that over his head the rest of his life because he was accidentally doing something? Or are we holding him accountable for a known sin? And I think, I mean,
that one.
I guess to answer that in some way, we can simply say, yes, we are guilty of sin, whether it's an accidental sin or intentional.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a sin, it's a sin. But, so, I mean, yes, the 2-year-old is guilty of murder, whether it was accidental or intentional. If the 2-year-old pulled the trigger and it was an accident and a man died.
Well, let's also keep in mind there's a difference between killing and murder.
Right. But you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying, yes.
So, I mean,
I can look at this the same way the state of North Carolina looks at it, actually.
I was waiting for this.
Because the adult corrections department will step in and try someone that is... I've seen people anywhere from the age of 12 up to, you know, 80 years old serving life sentences for murder, okay? And the state of North Carolina steps in, and a jury, just like a jury that would try these people, determines whether or not that 12-year-old was accountable for his actions or not. And I feel like that's the way God steps in and says, okay, you know, knowing, being all-knowing, can say, all right, he knew what he was doing. He is now accountable for that. Or, no, he did not know what he was doing. Therefore, he is pardoned, maybe. I don't know. Whichever word you want to use. Because there are 12 and 13, 14-year-olds doing life sentences without the possibility of parole.
All right. Isaiah chapter 7.
Okay.
Are you there?
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
Isaiah said, "Listen, house of David, is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. By the time he learns to reject what is bad and choose what is good, he will be eating curds and honey. For before the boy knows to reject what is bad and choose what is good, the land of the two kings you dread will be abandoned."
So they're saying he's not accountable at birth, then.
It seems like it, by the time he is able to reject the bad and choose the good.
And he's able to eat curds and honey. That's able to eat solid food.
Right.
That would seem to him. But also,
it also seems messianic. So
Jewish cutters.
Jewish altogether.
That's not in the, our Bible. Jewish cutters,
right,
not in our Bible, seem to align that there is an age of accountability.
Uh-huh.
Now, their custom says that that's 13.
Right.
But you won't find that in here.
Nope.
I would think that's because everybody doesn't mentally or not, does not age at the same.
Right. Is the age of accountability the same for me as it is for Brenda?
Oh,
yeah, see. She did a little sooner than I did, apparently.
Well,
I feel certain we're both already there, but.
As far. Okay.
Well, you got to ask this question, too. Shall not the God of the universe do good?
Mm-hmm.
Shall he not do good? When he judges you, will he not do good?
Do I think...
And so he won't make no difference.
No.
I don't think on the number. It's what you know and when you knew it. And then what you did.
Well,
okay. How about this? Are you guilty of sin from birth? I'm being very brief and short. I'm not so. Pardon the lack of an explanation, but I'm going to see if I can make an overarching statement over a theological thing that's just very hard to do. Just so you all know, are you guilty of sin from birth? Yes. Will you be judged
based on that sin?
Leave it up to God.
You have a sinful nature at birth. You can't help but have that.
Right.
You got it from your parents.
Right.
You have.
Right. Okay. You didn't hear me scream and cry because me.
Not at 6 months old.
It's not everybody will have to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the wages of sin is death from birth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
if you're one day old or 100 years old. The sin, you're going to sin, so there's no
getting around that.
There's no, you know.
Well, if a child is born,
the age of death doesn't matter anymore.
And a parent says, "I command you to stop crying," and the child doesn't stop crying, That's a sin because it says honor your father and mother, right? The child doesn't understand. You're right.
They don't understand language.
But, I mean, I'm just throwing out all points and processes here. But Deuteronomy 139 also.
Please read it.
Your children whom you said would be plundered, your sons who don't yet know good from evil will enter there. I will give them the land and they will take possession of it. I mean, it says who don't yet know good from evil.
So they sound like they're young.
And that one's not messianic.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't straight up say the words age of accountability, but it does allude to knowing good from evil.
But if you look at the Old Testament, like the two Sunday school lessons, one we got to have, one got snowed out. It showed the leaders visual. They had to teach the people. That was one charge that they had to do. They had to teach them right from wrong.
Well,
and then the people had to do it. Because it's just as important for the leaders to teach it as it was for the people to do it. Because if they didn't teach it, the people did wrong, the leaders were the ones going to be held accountable. Moses and Joshua in particular, all those two.
Does it not say somewhere, and I'm speaking way out there because I don't have any idea what it would be, that parents will hear their children scream and all that? That's what it translates to.
Proverbs. That's talking about disciplining your children.
And because they didn't discipline, because they weren't taught that from wrong, they're saying they're basically helping them right in the woods. So they have to be taught.
Yeah. Because man left himself is always bent toward evil. He's always bent toward evil.
Indeed.
Well, if you couple that with Ezekiel, where it says that the son is not responsible for the father's sin, nor is the father responsible for the son's, then are we responsible for our parents' sin?
I won't
we have the power.
Mom and Dad will not be judged because of my or based on my sins.
And you will not be judged based on them.
Correct. They will be judged on what they failed to teach me, or what they did teach me that may have been wrong.
Right.
Just like you in this church, just like me in this church.
Correct.
If we're touting to be such as not speaking. And he does it anyway.
Really?
That's right.
That's not us. That's not all him. That's all him.
Exactly. Well.
Is that the can of worms you hope to open?
No, do you see that? You see, I wasn't hoping to open a can of worms.
We're still two chapters away from that.
Indeed. Indeed. We haven't even got there yet. The way I see the way that.
All right, wait, hold up. To add to this conversation.
Sure.
Romans 10:14.
Ah, yours, okay.
Well, I mean,
no,
how
go for
then
it.
Will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?
Right. Right.
So you raise them up in church.
But that, but at the same time, if they never hear or if they never get told, if they're never taught, that doesn't excuse them from being sinners.
Fair enough.
Same thing with the one-day-year-old. Just because it didn't know any better doesn't mean it's excused just because of ignorance. Now, I'm not going to say anything more as far as what happens to the one-day-old, because I don't have a clue. It's not my place. I have a very good idea of what I hope happens. I think, but then again, that's just coming from me. I have no scripture to back that up. And I'm not, yeah. So, would the one-year-old, can a one-year-old die? Obviously. Is that one-year-old guilty of some form of sin? Yes, it died. Obviously, somewhere along the way. Is that one-year-old going to be judged the same as I am? Of course not. It didn't know I did.
Well, yes, he's going to be held accountable for his sins just as you are.
But is that death? Is that death? The second death that they're talking about. When he dies, does he die the second death? Or is it only...
Or does he just get the benefit of living his entire life in heaven?
Yeah.
I can only positively answer that it's the physical one. I do not know if it's the second one. I do not know what happens after that. Nor is it for me to know.
Well, wouldn't you say it's a good possibility they bypass the judgment?
Okay. This is a whole theory I have that I can back up, but you can argue it. You can argue against me. So this is not a stone thing. And Philip, this is your revelation stuff.
It's all right. I've stepped all over you.
Yes, I think it will see it will see Judgment Day, because the way my thought process works of death and judgment and all that, you die, you in essence go to sleep. Now, yes, I know the part about where Jesus says this day you'll be in paradise and lake of fire and all that. So yes, again, you can argue against me on this and you would make a valid point. But the way I'm seeing it, you die, you in essence go to sleep, regardless of age. You take a very long nap, and then on Judgment Day, the dead will rise, everyone comes up, and then they face judgment. The books are opened. Some are going to be very short books. Some are going to be very long books. And then, so yes, I think they will see Judgment Day. I think it'll be a very short process for them. And I can't say if it'll be an easy or a hard one, because it's not for me to say, but you get the picture.
I don't think there'll be any remains left on
this earth. Of course, no, now that I agree with. There won't be anyone left on this earth. There won't be any humans left on this earth. They'll either be in the second heaven and earth or in hell. This earth will be gone. Well, we've covered about 50 rabbit holes and had a great discussion on verse 7. Let's see what we can do with verse 8. We've covered one verse in 32 minutes. I love it. But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. Okay. So now going back to verse 7 and going into 8, Paul was saying, I didn't know it was wrong to covet until someone told me, don't do it. I didn't even know what the word covet means until someone explained it to me. Kind of like when I was a little kid. I didn't know why I wasn't supposed to put my hand on the hot stove. I didn't know what hot is. What is this word hot? I don't understand.
Even though it was explained to you, you still put your hand on the stove.
Exactly. Why did I do that? Because they said, don't. And of course, my natural reaction is, why? Every time mom and dad said no, or don't do this, or don't do that, and it was always the negative. It was always when don't or no. I had to ask why. 9 times out of 10, they explained it to me. It did very little good. The other 1 time out of 10, it was because I said so. And then I did it just out of spite, and then I found out really quickly why you just don't do things your own way. But anywho, so what Paul is saying here, once we do know, see, at least before we know, we can say we're ignorant, and when God judges us, we still have that ignorance clause. It ain't going to do us any good. If God still wants to judge us to hell, he most certainly can. And if he wants to give us his grace, he most certainly can. But once we know, once we have learned, don't steal, don't murder, don't do this, don't do that, whatever, fill in the blank with whatever you wish. The minute we know that, our natural pre-converted, pre-Christian state instantly rebels against that no. Thou shalt not. The second we understand the not. The second we understand what we're not supposed to do, we instantly think, why?
Okay, hold on. Based on those two verses, though, mm-hmm. the conversation we were just having,
okay.
I have to ask this question. And I'm going to use a different scripture to help me explain it as soon as I find it. Because, in part, I feel like it's kind of what's happening here. But I'm not 100% sure that Paul is saying it's sin until you know it's sin. Based on these two verses, it is sin, but is it your sin until you have knowledge of it being a sin? Just based on the wording there in John 9:41, where Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt, but now that you say we see, your guilt remains.
So now you're wondering if prior to knowing a sin, is it still considered sin?
Are you accountable for something you don't know?
It says the wicked in Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies.
Where was that?
Psalm 58:3.
Okay, but then that
Thank
brings
you.
Up a whole other question. What about a miscarriage?
It's still a human being.
Speaking of a rabbit hole.
Do you want to go down another one?
That's still a human being.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is, Paul seems to be saying here, I wouldn't have known it was sin.
No, Paul.
He says, I wouldn't have known it was a sin to covet if you had not told me, do not covet. And then in the first part of verse 8, and sin seizing an opportunity through the commandment produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead.
So then, outside the Ten Commandments, the law or sin has no power.
Sin has no power if you don't know the law.
There's a difference between conception and being born, too. If the baby is it was conceived, but it wasn't actually born.
It never lived outside the womb.
Right.
Possibly.
Then it can't possibly be a sin.
Who's
but
sin?
If it is physically born.
Now we're getting into who's sin, right?
Though, okay, to answer the conception part, in God's eyes, I'm trying to figure out how to word
you
this.
You knit me together in my mother's womb, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right? I'm trying.
So use the words of David against her.
Well,
she used the words of David to explain. Let's just go there. Psalm 139.
Well, I'm also trying to figure out how to say this in mixed company.
Easy.
Right.
Easy.
The moment that child is conceived, it is a living being because it has all the information.
Correct.
It has all the information that is going to make it whatever it is, male, female, whatever. So the moment you are conceived, that's why David said in 51, I was conceived in iniquity. The moment you are conceived, that
which is also why Jesus was born to a virgin.
So
that,
you're saying the conception creates the soul.
Yes. Yes.
But the wickedness comes from actually being apart from the womb.
The action, yes. The wicked action, yes. The sinful nature is also there at conception. The sinful nature. Exactly.
You get that.
The second you're conceived, you also have that sinful nature, which you are.
Take this recording, write a book, and we will.
Right.
life itself came from God.
Right. So, as far as what happens to the miscarried child, does it still face judgment? Yes. What happens with that judgment? Ask God, please. Don't ask me. Do not ask me. I don't know.
Well, if you're the one sitting in judgment seat, placing judgment on that circumstance.
Well,
thank goodness I'm not.
But can you hold a child accountable in that?
Yeah.
I'm thinking accountability are two different things. If you judge someone by the law, you will be judged by the same measure that you judge them. Therefore, if you are ignorant of the law that has become a sin, is he going to judge you based on the sin or the fact that you ignorantly sinned?
That would be a question for him.
You're right, but that's where we're going. I mean, that's
that
where
is, we're okay.
with this, because mm-hmm. the accountability doesn't happen until the knowledge happens. Therefore, what Paul is saying is, I didn't know it was a sin to covet till you told me do not covet. What Jesus was saying was, if you were blind, you had no guilt. Before the blinders were removed, there was no guilt because you didn't know. But now that you know it's wrong, now that you say we see, it has become a guilty situation for you. It is now a sin to you. Whether it was a sin in the eyes of God is one thing, but to you it is now a sin. So now you are willingly sinning rather than just ignorantly sinning. And that's where accountability comes in.
And the, okay. Now that I've heard all that, I think I know how to say this. I've been trying to figure it out for the past 40 minutes.
You're still guilty of sin.
Can God still judge you guilty and send you to hell because of your sin, even though you, quote, did not know it? Can he do it? Yes. Will he do it? Up to him. Can the same thing apply? Now, when you know it's a sin and you die and whatnot and you go to judgment, can he send you to hell for that? Yes, he can. Will he do it? That's still up to him.
Mercy and grace.
It's just on the flip side of that coin. Grace goes the same way.
Exactly. Can God give you grace for your ignorance? Yes, of course. Can he give you grace because after you learn and you whatnot? Yes, again. Can God judges how he so chooses?
Yes.
Can he judge you guilty and send you to hell even though you can claim ignorance? Yes, you still broke the law. Once again, if I didn't know it was if I'm a psychopath and I feel no remorse for committing murder, and I didn't realize it was a bad thing, is the state of North Carolina still going to send me to prison for life without the possibility of parole?
Yes,
officers,
maybe,
or at least at the very least a psych ward.
Depends on which law you get.
Yeah, right. Or at the very least, a psych ward.
But you can be forgiven for your sins, too.
That, exactly,
except
yes.
For one.
Except for the unforgivable. So.
And there's also this factor.
He thought we were done with our
If you are trying to stay clear of the Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
kind of like your situation with murder, mm-hmm. I don't want to go to prison. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be locked up and, you know, have all these people looking at me when I'm naked, taking the bath and all that stuff. I don't want to be in that mm-hmm. circumstance. You know, I don't really care about really pleasing God. I'm just looking after number one because I don't want to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you keep the law and you're doing it in that way,
that's still
but the other side of that, you keep the law because, well, I don't want to kill somebody because I love God. And God says I ought not do that. And I want to be with you. I love God and I want to be with you. Always.
The same defense as me.
I don't want anything to come between me and him. So I want to comply with God's mm-hmm. royal law so I can be with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, mankind as a whole benefits because I keep the laws.
Right.
But that's not my primary thought process. My thought process is I want to please God.
And
some people base their entire belief around that, a belief of God, is, well, would you rather go to church and claim to believe in God and go to and be wrong, or claim you didn't and be condemned to hell? Well, is that a true believer?
No.
Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some people, I have heard people say that go to church religiously. I've got to go to church because what if the Bible is true? Excuse me?
Exactly.
Both of you just said something that Paul was also saying in chapter 6. If you are truly a Christian, then this whole debate that he's covering means nothing because you're already going to be trying to keep the law to the best of your ability. Will you fail? Yes. But are you going to do it because you love God? Absolutely. That is the difference between a true Christian and a fake one, in my mind. A fake one will say, I'll take it a step further. Something, I've used this analogy before. If there's a burning car out there, and there's a five-year-old trapped inside, and I run out to that car and I save that five-year-old, and I don't do it for the glory of God, I do not do it for that purpose. I do it for the purpose of saving the child, and that's my only reason. There's a child inside. I'm going to save it. That's my only purpose. I'm doing it for the child. Have I done a civic good deed? Absolutely. Am I a hero in man's eyes? Absolutely. Did I just sin? Yes, I did. That is where Isaiah steps in and says, our good deeds are filthy rags. Now, if I go out and save that five-year-old for the glory of God, then is it a sin? Absolutely not. Same act, different motive. That's where my granny always would say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
And when you're in that circumstance, it's so easy to take credit for it.
Yep.
It is so easy to take that credit when you don't deserve it.
Yep. And it's the same thing as like you were just saying.
That's what sin is. Yep. Exactly.
Taking the credit.
And it's just like you.
Giving it to God. What was it he said to him? He said, I'm going to show you my faith. Now that's all you're going to do.
Same thing, and it's just like you were saying, Joe. If I keep the law perfectly, if I keep it perfectly, I don't commit a single sin, and my only motive behind that is I don't want to go to hell. Now, note my sins. I don't want to go to hell. Is that still? Did I still sin? Yes, I did.
Do you have the relationship with Christ?
Bingo. If I commit that, if I follow that that law perfectly, and I do it because I love God, He is in me, and I in Him. Well, I was also using the selfish thing.
See, even Paul said, he said, if my people, talking about the Jews,
yep.
would give up this rebellion against Christ and accept it, he said, I would forfeit my salvation and be sentenced to hell. If they would just give up.
That's coming up.
And that's also to go with what Kyle was saying.
That's kind of where we're going to have to
raise that point up where it says, you know, I mean, the person who says, I just don't want to go to hell. We what? Okay. Do you have any more books? Okay.
Well, we're running over anyway.
Right. But just if somebody says, I don't want to go to hell,
mm-hmm.
and they just say, I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that, then basically they're not worried about anybody else's salvation anyway. Mm. And so they're guilty of the sin of pride just solely based on the fact that it's only about them.
And selfishness.
They're the same people that are saying, well, I've got my salvation worked out and what you do is your business.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the ones that are saying, you know, let me show you what the scripture says. Let me help you through this. Let's do this together. They're the ones that are simply saying, well, you know, me and God got this worked out, and you two have at it.
Yeah, that's got to be part of our judgment. Not only what did you do during your time on this earth, but how did you benefit somebody else's salvation?
Well, it's the story of the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel. I will bring a sword, and if you sound the alarm and they don't listen, then their blood's on their own hands. But if I bring the sword and sound, and you don't sound the alarm, then their blood is on their own hands, but it's also on yours. To paraphrase a very in-depth story, I apologize. Well, I said I'd have to go back over it. I don't think I'll have to now because I've only covered two verses tonight. This is awesome. I appreciate everyone's conversation. And to those listening to the recording, you're more than welcome to jump in on this conversation by leaving comments on Facebook if you wish. Or you can reach out to me however you wish to do so. I'm sure I'll be tagged in this recording when it goes on Facebook. We'll continue this next week for the first time in a while. I get to do two in a row. Yep, we'll get to go into this next week, and that'd be 2019.
No, it'll still be 2018.
Okay.
We
got
December
one.
December the 30th.
We got one more of 2018, and then we'll ring in the new year.
Lord willing.
Lord willing. I was getting to that part. So, I appreciate everyone's input. I appreciate the conversation. I always appreciate the conversation because it makes my life easier, and it lets me hear what everyone's thinking. And it's very important that we start thinking out of the box like this, because as everyone here has probably already begun to figure out, if you haven't figured it out already, I'm going to tell you right now, I am prepping you for Chapter 9. I am getting you ready for that, because you think we had a discussion tonight? I promise this ain't nothing. Okay.
Well, I have a question.
Absolutely.
You was talking about the going out and saving a child from the fire.
Okay.
What if a fireman, you know, goes out and saves a child from the fire?
Right.
Whose glory does he do it for?
Are they going to say they're sinning? Or because they're going to get, you know, thank you and the stuff, or are they?
Well, okay. Good example, to answer that, a good example is what actually happened with an Avery County officer and him saving someone from a car fire and getting the congressional or the Presidential Medal of Honor. What conversation has come out of that, though? All glory is given to God in that regard.
Well, okay. However, I don't know that person. I don't know what they said.
I do personally, so I know that.
Okay. Thank you. To answer your question, the fireman did his job. Good for him or her. Great. That's awesome. Are they going to be thanked? Yes. Am I thanked for my service in the military? Yes. Do I hate it? Absolutely. But anyways, it's going to happen. They're going to get a thank you. There's nothing wrong with them getting a thank you. That's not the sin. The sin is if they did it for any other purpose other than the glory of God. Now, that fireman or firewoman jumped in. Thank you. Golly, I hate being politically correct.
I'll cut that.
No, don't cut that. I hate being politically correct. I'll say it again. Anyways, so if they jump in and save that child and they did it for the glory of God, there's no sin. It doesn't matter if they get thanked or not, because they didn't do it for the thank you. That's just people saying, hey, thank you. That's them saying that, and the firemen would probably say, it wasn't me. God protected me while I saved that child, and he kept the child long.
That's the right way to handle.
And the child, yeah. And he kept the child alive long enough so I could save them.
Protected me to get in there and get them out.
Now, if the fireman did it for themselves or for the child, or for it, fill in the blank with any other reason other than glory to God, yes.
If the fireman said, look what I did.
Yeah.
That is, now, is that still a good deed that God can use for his glory? Absolutely. He can still turn that into something for his glory. However, that fireman's still guilty of their own motive. We'll say.
To be fair, though, 99% of the people who would go in to do it just to take the credit for it are vain enough to stay out of it for fear that they would lose their own life.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome. I enjoy these conversations. Please read ahead. Bring questions. Bring comments. Bring discussion. It makes it a lot more fun. And to our guest, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you'll come back.
This is twice for him.
Good.
Been back once.
Revelation didn't scare him off.
And Revelation didn't scare him off for good. He wants more Jesus.
Well, in that case, let us be dismissed. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.